welcome back. Welcome back to Channel Z. This is a Memorial Day broadcast, and I just want to remind you that war is the folly of rich people who want to get little people, meek people, to fight and die for whatever newfangled loyalty, call it patriotism. Very seldom is war really about defense of the homeland. And I hope that you can understand that. I'm starting a little bit early here, so if you see the little red lights are on, go ahead and tap it on. I mean, if you've seen the red lights are on, you tapped it on, you got the live stream. Otherwise, how could I communicate with you? Please be sure to pick up your copy, or two, because you get two for the price of one, of MetaV. It's available at cdbaby.com. MetaV, it's basically two for one. And so you can't really go wrong. There was someone I saw bought one CD yesterday, and I'm like, I better send them an extra one. Because when you – it's ridiculous. Now, how could you miss that deal? If you get two – they will sell them to you for $5 a piece. If you get one, it's $9.99. So you can't really beat that. I don't know anywhere where you can get a whole, you know, CD for $5, really, unless it's on a distress rack. This thing has just come out. And what they tell me is, we got a friend, who's in the, actually the music business, the amplifier business, who, in high end gear. And he listens to MetaV in the car, and I say that's a perfect place for it because I've listened to it all the time in the car. It just kind of, it's really good, that way. It's really a great trip CD for when you take a trip. But it's also good if you just want to listen because there's all kinds of sound. What you just heard there is, not mine. I wish it were my music. And I won't even go into that. We'll just move on. But definitely a little sample there from the PodSafe Network. Thank you to them. And we will just, at this point, we're ready to go to India, to actually Sri Lanka. So I was trying to find something in the mix, and I will be doing more, hopefully more talks and more music. I intend to try to bring, you know, some various ethnic flavor, Turkey, India, and various other places, you know, try to bring those in, to the mix, as it were, and, you know, get some samples, if I can, of voice, get some, performance, you know, as a producer, you know, can, you know, get those, performances and then try to build some, music around it to kind of have an east-west bridge, if you will. And what I'm looking for is, some unusual things, you know. I mean, I'd love to hear someone praising Yah, praise Yahshua, in Hindi. Now, to that end, see, Govinda doesn't know what I'm saying because he's not here yet. All I have to do is simply dial him in. We're going to try this, Google Talk. He is the founder of a, ministry called Faith Mix. I was just there. In fact, let me just bring this up on the screen. And, faithmix.com. He actually has an audio of mine up called How to Die, and also a sample of, from Metaverse called Hippocratic Oath. It's really Hippocratic Oath, which was played on a UK, major UK, station. And, he's got some other, let's see. He's got some other things up here. It's fun. It's great. Latest writing, Holy Communion by Chandula, Abiwikrima. And I hope I didn't butcher that name too much. And The Image of God by Chandula Abiwikrima, and Worship by, in fact, they're all by Chandula. Spread Your Wings Like Little Eagles and Fly. The Church Ages, part 1, 2, 3, and 4 are audios. There are audios about, mine is up there, How to Die, that, Govinda, related to. The New Covenant in Christ, part 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Band Sermons is under construction. Writing Fruit of the Spirit by Govinda Tidball, and that's our guest today. And, I've got a very funny thing to tell you about, Freely Give, Freely Receive. I really had a big reminder of that today, and we'll be getting you that story. But first, let me do this. Oh, if you need to write us, it's 5 Bisbee Court, 5 B-I-S-B-W-E, B-W-E, 5 Bisbee, like a Bisbee, Bisbee Court, 109, Box 16. Satan, I mean, that's an old joke. That's stupid now, right? Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. And we love to hear from you. You know what? You don't have to have... Some people have, like, sent us a $1 bill or something. I don't need that. I don't need it. You know, we are very much more encouraged when we hear a story of faith, a story of rebirth, you know what I mean, a story of regeneration, rather, a story of just, you know, something where you were inspired and then, you know, you came to a realization. It doesn't even need to be through something I've said or done, but possibly something that you've encountered on your own, you want to share. We love your letters. We don't often get time to read them back to you and comment on them. I think we should have a letter day, don't you, Trish? A letter day. We should have a letter day. You know, they're amazing. There's so many of them. They're amazing. Send the letter. Don't worry about sending money. You know, don't worry about the fact that, you know, we're a fledgling outfit. It's all right. Because you know what I feel like? Is I feel like things are definitely where the Lord wants them. And we have the provision we need. We're still here, aren't we? You're still there. And I think he, in his great wisdom, he regulates this whole situation. So no worries. In the CD selling, look at it this way. the Messy and Dread, our friend Jetsy, Messy and Dread from Holland, he did a review of Lamb, and he is a Rasta who ministers to Rastas. He's in ministry, but he's also the founder of dubroom.com, and I'm trying to get him on this week. His music, I will just play. Let me play a really brief, if I can find it, because we've had some I've had trouble labeling his record, but I think let me just try track number 5 here. Well, I get Govinda. I think this is him. That doesn't sound like him, does it? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I hear drum and bass right there. That's him. Yeah. That's him. Stay right there, Govinda.
All right.
Stay right there. We'll be right with you.
All right.
Okay, that's our friend Messy and Dread from Holland, and yes, he's multifaceted. He's the founder of the Dub Room, dubroom.com, and he did a review on Lamb, and he's also been a dub reggae artist for 20 years, and is really a minister to the whole Rasta situation. He's just one of those people that we'll get him on. But right now we've got, I heard Govinda there, and Govinda, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You sound pretty good.
Yeah, this is amazing, huh? What do we call it? Google Talk. Now you've got a little bit of background noise.
Do it.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Let me do this. Let me go ahead and bump your treble, and let me see what that does. Okay. That should be better.
All right.
Yeah, there's just a...
Is that the ocean in the background?
Is that the ocean?
It might be the AC in the place.
Yeah, where is your microphone? It's not right on your... Right up close to your mouth, is it, or...?
It is, actually. I got one of those headset mics.
Okay, so we're just going to have to deal with a little bit of noise. Well, last time the connection was absolutely quiet.
You know, wait, I might have something else. Give me 1 second. Let me
okay. All right. Okay, I'll, let me just, you want me to disconnect this and then call me again?
No, you don't have to.
Okay. Well, while Govinda is doing that, I'll just keep him at a little bit of a lower volume as we're, demoing this, what you might call Google Talk. We've had it with Frankie and Z and Frankie, and your comments are thumbs up. It's been a good listening experience, better than the telephone, and it's very difficult to mix sometimes low signals, especially when you have cell phones that are very in a compacted place like, say, Chicago. Getting those in here and, getting those mixed right, it's still not easy, even with our T1 lines, even with our digital phone lines, which eliminate noise completely. But I do like the direction this a Google Talk is going in. I hope they don't attach video to it. I hope if they want to do video, it's a separate deal. All right, Govinda. All right.
How's the sound? Is this better?
Oh, it's perfect. What did you do?
It's better. Well, actually, I switched. I have something, a different set that I can use. So yeah. This one's a little bit more chewed up, but I think the sound quality is better.
Yeah, chewed up is good. We don't mind chewed up. Sometimes we feel a little bit chewed up. I just was thinking about that experience I had today where I was led to give to your ministry, faithmix.com, which is fantastic. You've really done a lot in just a few short weeks. And the moment that, I mean, you were tremendously generous with us beyond, even sanity. And then we were led to give to you, and the minute that we gave to your ministry, the minute that we, yes, folks, freely give, freely receive, but as the Lord moves you, it may not make sense to you.
There you go.
Oh, I think I should give it to Govinda. Oh, I think I should give it to someone. No, it was just at that moment, boom, the Spirit came over me, and it was like, okay, I was in the process of giving to Govinda. Within about a minute after that, we received the exact same dollar amount as a donation back to us.
Yeah, that's fun, isn't it?
Right at the same moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my feeling is that I feel the presence of the Lord. That's what I'm saying, that he's got all, and he's trying to teach us something with that.
Actually, I just put up an audio that we did last week. It's about the truth on tithing. I mean, we had so many people that were just asking us some stuff. So we did, all the notes are there. There's probably about 15 pages of everything that you want to know in the condensed form. I think you had Roy Moore? Was he the
Roy,
guy that was
oh,
on
yes, the tithe
yeah,
that
he,
binds?
He had written a book on that, I think, sometime back. I didn't check the book, but I listened to the interview. But basically, anybody that's done, a study, in this area and specifically, because it's just another place of bondage that people have been locked up, even in the resources that God's given you. But, it's just, we're just in the process of just setting people free and just letting people know that, hey, you're all right. You have heard from God. You are walking with him. And just, as long as you're just looking to him for everything, you'll be fine.
Well, I do like this very simple format that you have on faithmix.com. Go there. It's what a great name for a ministry. It's just no nonsense. I just love Times Roman against a white background. That's how my blog is.
Well, this is probably a good time to give a big thank you out to one of my key guys in the States, Daniel, brother's brother-in-law
from Nebraska.
Daniel, he's in Nebraska. He's originally from Indonesia, but Daniel, you're a genius. And, just got to say thank you for all your hard work on that side, too. Because, actually, this thing, it's not a single person. This is kind of a collaboration.
Right, right.
And, you see some of the people that we're putting up there, but there's no names kind of behind the scenes that, they're happy to not have any association with it as far as something out front, but they're behind the scenes making things happen. And we've had the URL for 3 years. you know, have had it, and God just every time we tried to start doing something with it, God just wouldn't let us. And so, I mean, it was just was like recently that really, you know, the Spirit just kind of allowed us to move on this. And so, you know, I think we were chomping at the bit to get going for a long time.
I think I see that my friend Barry from Queensland, Australia, I think that's him. He's on your map.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see here.
I don't know if he signed up, but I saw that. Anyway, I expect that just like with Russ Dizdar's map, that's where I found this map, and he's got a Frapper map over there, too. It's kind of fun.
Oh, yeah, it's really fun because, you know, the thing is, too, is like, I mean, just being able to see where you have a few friends that are, I mean, I had some guys that got in touch with me recently, and just to be able to see where they're at, you know, in the world, that's a good way to get your geography down, I think.
Well, I went ahead and posted this link on the blog, so it's right there in front. And then we have a link on the site because it's a new ministry, and I just want you to know if you want to get involved in ministry, there's a couple of ministry opportunities on my blog listed. One is Men of Grace here in the States, and the other one is Faith Mix, which is based in Sri Lanka but also based in cyberspace as well.
And yeah, you know, we the thing about this, too, is that this is, you know, it's not going to be limited to Sri Lanka. I mean, some of the initial stuff we're putting out is definitely from ministry that God has us doing here. But, you know, this is really organic. I mean, it's just going wherever the Spirit takes us. So, you know, the whole shape and format and everything could switch up at any time. So, you know,
if you go to the,
just on for the adventure.
Yeah, if you go to the archives, you'll be able to get, talks. Now, these talks you've done here, Effective Study of the Will of God, Prophecy, Spiritual Gifts, Practical Spirituality, Relationships.
Those were, okay, like that one is, okay, we were doing a Q&A session with just some people, and so those were all just stuff that was in that one. But yeah, you can go through, basically when we're doing stuff in Sri Lanka now, we just start miking it. And, you know, whatever's covered, we just put it up. And, you know, the thing that's interesting, too, is with the Spirit, you know, I've noticed this with your stuff, too. It's just, you know, he's so much bigger than the limits of our geography. And so, you know, the Spirit of God knows what's going on. And you said Queensland, Australia. And so somebody has something going on in their life, and you can do something in cyberspace that ministers to exactly what's happening at that moment. And so, you know, I think one thing that we're seeing now is just, you know, the ability with all that, you know, the devil might intend to do. The internet's just neutral, you know, and in so many respects, and that it's kind of like money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's a tool in and of itself, and, you know, it's just a representation.
Yeah, just like the internet, you can do good things with it, or you can do filthy things with it. It's really a choice that you make. And, you know, with money, you can do, I mean, if one of us comes into some money, and that one person says, okay, Lord, it's your money now, direct me. Boy, that person could do an awful lot of good, and they do, and this happens all the time. Well, so folks, I want you to know about this. My guest is Govinda Tidball, and he is on in Colombo, Sri Lanka, I believe. That's where you're located.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting spot to be right now.
Yeah, that's where Christianity, I understand, is really like the main religion, and everyone loves it.
No, that might be the
Jesus
the
is
next
really
dimension.
Yeah,
not quite here.
Yeah, so you got it. So really, I don't know if you all understand, because you're living in countries, probably listening to this, where Yeshua is just, you know, no big. It's a little Yeshua with my cappuccino. That's cool, you know. And it's you know what I'm saying. It's materialism.
Yeah, is that Trish in the background?
Yeah, she's back there somewhere.
Yeah, I can hear her.
She's
it.
Listening.
Hey, Trish.
Okay, now why don't you use your mic?
Great to hear you, Govinda.
Oh, great to hear you, Trish. I keep saying you got such a nice voice.
She does. She's an expert.
She does.
She's an expert vocalist. But anyway, so look, Jesus is not exactly politically correct. And your state is primarily Hindu and Buddhist, correct? Or Islam?
Well, Sri Lanka actually is and I use the term loosely. It's a Buddhist nation, but I mean, if you, I mean, you know a lot about the different religions because you studied that, but they don't practice Buddhism. It's just I mean, because they're definitely not renunciates over here.
No, they're not. It's not about peace, love, and
problems that are going on.
Yeah,
no.
Most Buddhists have the attitude of. It's kind of an extension of Hinduism, actually. Most people don't realize that, but it grew out of Hinduism. And basically, it's very ethical. In other words, there's a lot of emphasis put on works. And those works would be, you know, peacefulness, compassion, right? Mindfulness, living clean. It's not a religion of guys with guns that go around shooting Christians. That's not Buddhism.
No. No. Well, and Sri Lanka actually is a mixed bag here. I mean, yeah, you have probably about 70% Buddhist, and then you have a very large Hindu minority, which is that kind of goes. It's similar with the Tamil community, but it's not exclusive. But about 18% Hindu, and then you've got a mix of Islam and Christianity that kind of balances out the rest. But even there with Christianity, Sri Lanka was colonized by the Dutch, the Portuguese, and the British, so a lot of Catholicism and, different forms of, everybody was trying to take over people with different religions here, so you have a big mix, and, if they're not fighting over one thing, they're fighting over something else, so.
Well, one thing you do have is that's amazing beaches. So you do have all that going on, I've been, researching the ocean situation, and you can't beat it.
Oh, gosh. Jeff, it's amazing. In fact, if you got the protection of God, you're fine. So, I mean, for all the people that have run away with the tourist season, actually, there's no tourists in the country at all right now because of the problems. But also what that is there's... You can get pretty good hotel deals if you want to travel.
I'm saying it's
beautiful.
It's a good deal hotel wise.
Oh,
and I'm looking at a picture right now of just this powder blue kind of water, big puffy clouds, white sand, and incredible. So that's going on while you have this whole raging humanity thing happening within the cities and within the community. But we will be there. No doubt, one of these days, and we'll be broadcasting, I'm sure, from the island, hopefully, and be able to, reach out. That'd be a fun show to do, right? To be there in Sri Lanka and kind of try to take in the sights, put as many pictures as possible up online. But it's really, for those of you who don't know where it is, Sri Lanka is just off the coast of India in the Indian Ocean. And it's an island that's about, I would say, well, how large is your island? It's not small.
Sri Lanka
it's a pretty big island.
Okay, it's about a third the size of the state of Nebraska, maybe about the size of the state of West Virginia. So it's, let's see, about 160 k's across and about 270 up and down. So... kilometers, what is it, 0.6 k's to the mile?
But for such a small place...
0.6 miles to the kilometer, sorry.
Yeah, there are 20 million people there.
But 20 million people, yes. So it's the population of Australia in a space that is a third the size of the state of Nebraska. So, yeah, it's a pretty densely populated country.
Right. And the country flag is a lion with a sword.
Lion with a sword, and actually the country flag, yeah. Then they put so much on that flag. Then you have those two striped colors, which are supposed to represent the Tamil communities, and the Muslims as well. So they just stuck everything on that flag for representation, but it's all divided by a nice big yellow border, so everything's still divided. But yeah, it's an intense place. I mean, spiritually, it's definitely an adventure here. So, you can feel it when you even get off the plane. I mean, there's just ancient demonic powers and presences that are just here. And because so much has happened over time that has given, free rein to those things by just the will of people in the natural realm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was, it's interesting. I dealt with some people that were very nomadic, but what they would do is bring things back from India to sell them. And, you know, they would also be at the feet of the guru and this and that. And I was very interested in all that at that time. But I couldn't ever make a commitment because I just didn't ever get along with organized religion, whether it be Hindu, it didn't matter what it was, you know.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, the Christian church with the steeple and the, you know, Sunday best and all that. It, you know, same thing. I think people are unaware of how in Hinduism, which is, you know, your name is a Hindu name, but
yeah.
In Hinduism, how strict it is. I think people would be amazed at how many Western kids who went for the Hinduism, feeling it was an alternative to Christianity, hoping to find God, you know, and it was a pure-hearted effort. And they found themselves in a much more strict, enslaving situation than they were in the first place. And they had no idea that they just thought, oh, this is cool. It's like, you know, you've got the more free-form style of, you know, spiritual seeking in India. But really, when you factor in the caste system and that the sacred books, all of them uphold that caste system. And it, for example, the Bhagavad Gita explains in the story why the caste system is so important, not to jeopardize it. That's what the purpose of the Gita is. It's not some lofty thing. The whole message of it, which is one of the highest books in Hinduism, the holiest books in Hinduism, is basically to teach that we have our place in society and to do our bit and to be happy and to be satisfied with our position in society.
Yeah.
And so,
well, they're all just different forms of that pyramid, aren't they? You know, they keep that tree going.
Okay. But what I'm saying is they keep that going. Okay. Buddhism, the same thing. Very strict hierarchy has to be acknowledged. And most of the Westerners who, they didn't like that, then they became yuppies and their god became money after that. I followed this whole thing from the 60s on, Govinda. It's amazing.
Yeah.
First was the rock and roll invasion from, and the Beatles and all that, and Bob Dylan, and this whole kind of cultural revolution that was going on. And your dad was like around my age, so he caught up. No, you know, an old geezer like me. But so he was caught up in the same thing I was. And then the next thing after that, it was the quest for Eastern religions because the Beatles went there. And then they were following Aleister Crowley and Madame Blavatsky and all the mystics of Europe. They would go to India. And this is an old tradition. Hitler went to Tibet to get Tibetans to enlist them in his war. You know, and people don't realize there's been this ongoing feeling that in the East is where the real wisdom is. And there's even a rumor, Govinda, and I'll get your, and this has got nothing to do with faith mix, but we like to just go freeform here, so.
Oh yeah, of course.
But that Jesus got his real wisdom when he sat with the Tibetans, and when he sat with the Brahmins in India, and the Tibetans, they recorded it. Feeling that they are the real historians of, especially the whole anything religious that's going on in the East. And so, that Jesus really, further to that wasn't really anything unless he had gone to India. And that's where he really became enlightened. No.
Yeah.
I'm not joking here.
No. Well, you know, it's interesting because everybody comes up with plenty of things down the line. I mean,
being God's son wasn't enough. He had to go to India first to be approved of and to fit in, you know what I mean? To be honored. And it, of course, in the Islam, he's considered, you know, a prophet. People have these different views of our Lord, our Savior.
Yeah.
And I think the main thing about Jesus that's different from all this other stuff, which is very hierarchical, very, for example, if there's not a lot of movement, there's not a lot of places you can go. Once you've been deemed a certain thing, that's where you stay. But with Jesus Christ, most people don't understand that he is life. He is God. They don't get that he, God, you know, was born on earth in the form of a man.
Yeah.
That's what they don't get. You see, there's the stumbling block.
Yeah.
Buddha's not God and Krishna's not, he's an aspect of God, but you can't say Krishna is God or Shiva is God.
No.
You say those are just different representations of God. Different human beings came up with different stories and different myths about different representations of God, and they take the form of those, of these various gods and comic book gods and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, people have had also all kinds of crazy spiritual experiences, and then they, you know, they come out of a dream or a trance, and then they make a statue out of what they saw, and, you know, they've just been getting reamed for a long time. But with Jesus, the thing is that, I mean, one of the things I love is he sets us free, and he saves us even from ourselves. You know, I mean, I just thank God for that, because that was probably one of the best things he did, was save me from me.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, the times I think I'm doing okay have been the times where I wasn't doing okay, but I thought I was doing okay. And I've seen him gently guide me into humility, you know, embarrassingly enough at times, but oftentimes keeping me out of really making a fall.
Yeah.
You know, I've sensed that presence, just like today. We, you know, I gave to you and we were given to, just like that, as if to say, you not only are you not going to outgive me, the more that you just do, go and you take my leading and obey, the better, the more amazing things will get. And that's not, that doesn't happen in other religions.
No, it never does. See, the thing is that, I mean, one thing that God showed me a while back was just the fact that, you know, the walk of faith is just one step of faith at a time. It's just one step of faith after another. And so, you know, you may not, you know, wherever people are listening in from, you know, you may not know what all that God's got for you, you know, 5, 10 years down the line. Of course, none of us do. But, you know, his word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. You see the next few steps, even though you don't see much past that, but you just take that one, and one will lead to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's part of just the journey. That's part of the adventure. You know, I mean, Jeff, I had no plan to be in Sri Lanka like this, you know, but this is just where God's got me right now. And so, you know, part of even just putting stuff up online and everything is, part of it's just sharing, you know, the adventure and what the experience I'm on. You know, it's just increasing the shelf life a little bit of what we're doing. But, you know, also realizing that the Spirit's bigger than anything that we do here, and that something that can be done now can minister to somebody a year from now. So, but, you know, now I think more than ever, it's just to encourage, you know, people that are listening in, that God is, you know, he's putting us on an adventure. I mean, thank God we got a chance to live in such exciting times. And, you know, because our lives are an adventure. And so at this point right now, whatever he's showing to each and every person, just, you know, trust him at his word and just take that step. And things come together as you move with him. I mean, God's got no obligation to provide manna if you're still in Egypt. I mean, he gives that to you when you're in the desert. You know, no pun intended there, their situation. But I mean, he just, you know, he makes that provision, and he makes that, he just comes through. You know, I mean, time and again, I just see for myself that if he wasn't there in that situation ahead of me and with me, then, you know, I mean, I'm done. You know, I got nothing else. I mean, even right now in this place, this is not, unless it was the Spirit of God that had me here, this is not a smart place to be, you know, for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, if your life is no longer your own, and then he governs and leads it, then, hey, you know, I'm a lot safer here than I am crossing the street.
Well, I think, you know, I have to say that what I'm seeing now in the Spirit is that there's going to be people joining you from here, from the States, whether they go there physically or they just connect with you in ministry and share that. But one way or another, you're going to have, you know, people that are going to be, you know, joining this ministry in some way, shape, or form and getting involved. And there are things you can get involved with. And if you want to go to Sri Lanka and work in ministry, I suppose you've got the beginnings of something going right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are good servants of the Lord in Sri Lanka that are ministering to the people that do hear the voice of God, that are, you know, that their service is based just on what the Spirit is leading them into. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we just go with what it is that he's got for us this day. And you know, there's amazing things, you know, that I get to see here, and you know, because I've been around it for some time. When you look back, and you can see where you came from and what God has done along the way, you know, it's so encouraging. But yeah, you can't predict it, and you can't set it up in your natural self. So, mm-hmm. You know, part of this walk as well is just the relationships that God does put in our lives. You know, He puts people. I have one time. I don't know if you're familiar with Jackie Pullinger.
Yes, Chasing the Dragon.
Yeah, yeah. She's been a friend of the family since 1986.
Wait, let Tris. We've been trying to locate her. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Trish, let me patch Trish in. Let me turn your reverb off, Trish, because we were doing some recording the other day, and we got to. Okay, Trish, go ahead.
Is she there in Sri Lanka now?
No. She's it's been a while since I know where she's at, but I know she was in Hong Kong last time
I just recently read her book, Chasing the Dragon. Barbara Marcotti sent it to me. And that book was such a blessing.
She's an amazing woman. Actually, at the time that I met her in, I think we were in the Maldives Islands. And my dad is a photographer, freelance photographer by profession.
A very good
and,
one.
Yeah, he's good.
We've got his book. He sent us his book.
Yeah,
on
he's you know, basically beautiful. National Geographic, but on his own recognizance.
Well, yeah, he's got a.
He's on that level.
Definitely given.
He's on that level.
Yeah, well, he's actually rebuilding his site at some point. I'll send you the link when it gets done. But so he'll have some really cool shots that he's finally stuff that he's had in the archives for like 15 years that he just
cool.
hasn't ever put up. But that'll come out soon. But yeah, with Jackie. She had been in Hong Kong, and she had been working like nonstop for I think it was a couple of years. And some friends had come over from England, and they actually said, "All right, enough is this. You know, you need a break." And they actually took her to the airport, put her on a plane, and took her to the Maldives Islands. At the same time, my dad had been given an assignment for a photography shoot in the Maldives Islands, and the island that she was going to stay on, something happened with the rooms where they weren't able to stay there, so she ended up getting put on the same island that my parents had got put on. And so basically it was one morning where my mom, she was walking on the beach, and she saw this lady that was just out there praising God on the beach and just lifting her hands up to the Lord. And they had just gotten, you know, they had just read her book.
Wow.
And so my mom went up to her, because my mom goes up to everybody. She's like, "Hey, how you doing? You know, I see that you're praising God." And so they just started talking a little bit. And then she was asking, you know, where are you from? And she said, "Oh, I just came from Hong Kong." And she said, "Well, you know, oh, I just read this book by this lady that's from that's in Hong Kong. Have you ever heard of Jackie Pullinger?" And she said, "Oh, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Jackie."
Aww.
And so that was, and it was actually from that meeting was when Jackie ended up helping to establish the drug rehabilitation work that is modeled after actually the same stuff that they have in Hong Kong as in Sri Lanka here as well.
Wow, that's great. And she was so effective in Hong Kong. I mean, so many heroin addicts just got off heroin with no problem once they accepted the Lord. It was awesome. Testimony after testimony.
Yeah, her story, though, too, is that, you know, God just basically, when she was 19, just said, "Get on this boat. I want you to go."
Yeah,
and she just got on a boat. With
no affiliation, she just went.
No affiliation. In fact, none of these churches wanted her. None of these missionary societies wanted to do anything with her. So she just did what God showed her.
Yeah, and very effective with the criminal gangs, the triads. And, wow, just an amazing book. I love that book.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, part of her, I just remember something from one of her stories was just that, you know, it was the fact that she stayed.
Yeah.
And because one time that, you know, there was a group, she went up and she was talking to some guys in one of these opium dens, and and they had been debating the whole night before because they couldn't figure out. They thought that she had to be a British secret agent because they said that nobody would come and stay with them unless they had to. And so their debate was either she was a British agent or the god that she served was true. And they said these other Christians, they said they're not very impressed with them because they get on planes, they get on stages, play guitars, and then they leave.
I said, so what?
You know, it's just we're still here.
Yeah.
But that's what Jesus did too. He just put himself in our situation.
Yeah, her situation was though that she learned the language. She went to completely obedient to God on the most bizarre challenge that he gave her, which was to get on a boat and go somewhere you've never been, learn the language, and you're going to rehabilitate these people. And I think what that did with her is it changed her whole life because she saw it worked. And then what she learned, I think, was in part was the key to overcoming addiction. Many of these people overcoming addiction with no symptoms, with no withdrawal effects from heroin.
Which
completely, utterly letting the Holy Spirit take it. I mean, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and in fact, the work in Sri Lanka, I think it has the highest success rate of any of the works in the country, but it's basically the same thing. It's just that it's the power of the Holy Spirit that really delivers somebody from an addiction. I mean, you can get people off of something for a little while through your 12-step Hollywood program, but the addiction isn't gone because they haven't been delivered from it.
Right.
So it's just a matter of time and circumstance. But what the Holy Spirit does is he empowers and takes that out. You know, I mean, he overflows us and it's pushed out of us.
Yeah. And a lot of the people that were delivered, that sought the Lord and found that he was real, they were immediately gifted, many of them with various talents like speaking in tongues and interpretation. And they would, like one person who doesn't even speak English, would be doing an interpretation of somebody else's tongues, and it would be direct quote from the Bible. You know, that was
And this would be within minutes of somebody's eyes being open to Christ.
Minutes.
This is not after they've gone through 5 years of training in your theology schools. This was just the work of the Spirit that just opened them up. And so, that's the other thing too. When the world doesn't want you, you're so open to whatever it is that God would have for you. And, he's glorified in the things that this world despises. So very, very quickly they have a PhD in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And I remember that one.
I love this
one guy. He was like he was like a triad guy. You know, a real murderous guy. And when he accepted the Lord and became filled with the Holy Spirit, he was just so joyous. And he was bragging to her that because he had been such a sinner, that he was more blessed. And she was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you get more blessed. Look at Paul. He was, he had a real problem with wanting to kill Christians. I mean, you know, he was a murderous fellow himself.
Yeah.
And he was completely transformed, not just to a man of peace, but, all of his gifts that were used, in nefarious ways, to manipulate, the legal profession, were now being used to explain what our situation in Christ really is.
Yeah.
And why we need the Savior and what it means to be in Christ. Which is what most people don't understand. I'm always amazed when people want to throw Paul out of the Bible, and I'm thinking that's the perfect Antichrist spirit, because what it means is by throwing him out, you throw out that the average person, coming to an understanding of what it means to be in Christ, what are the almost legal definition of who you are now, what kind of person you are now, indeed that you're a new creature, a new creation. Subject to regeneration. All those things are what are so valuable about the Pauline letters, because they, and the tragic things too. In other words, establishing a church that that ultimately becomes corrupt exteriorly. But of course, the inner church, the church that we belong to, will never be corrupt. You know, the inner church is not corrupt. And really, as far as the corrupt people getting together and playing church, any one of us could fall into that situation. So I don't want to, you know, I have to keep reminding us and myself, we're not superior just because we're not in their corrupt church system.
Yeah.
We're not superior to them. We could be right there right now, any one of us. There are human beings. We're human beings. There's really no difference, except that we are we've been separated, sanctified. All the things that make us a little bit different are really Christ, not us.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I was there. You know, I mean, I was there. I was part of it. You know, but the thing is, in the midst of all that, too, I still had a heart for truth. I still had a heart for the Father. I still wanted to know Him, you know. And in that process, you know, He brings us out. It's just we're all in process. You know, we're all at different stages of Him just revealing in Christ in us. And so, you know, it's not to ever get down on ourselves, but just to say if we're on that path and we're going in that direction, hey, He's away, you know. And so we're walking that way out. So, brother, we're going in the same direction. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, you know, and I've just got to have to leave it. I mean, I've been outraged the last few years of just every time I think, okay, I've got it on the corruption. I've gotten it now. I'm going to move beyond it. I have to heal from their abuse of me and, you know, me trying to fellowship with them and they're not being able to do so and all this rejection and all this stuff. And now it's time to, just when I'm ready to move on, there's another level. And it's like, that's the same way with this world. Just as I think there's no further they can go, there's something else that gets revealed, whether it's about our society, the economy, the military, anything. And in fact, we become so anesthetized now that you have something like Abu Ghraib prison. You have something like the atrocities committed by all sides in war. And, you know, it gets, it's almost sort of justified that, you know, we're Americans, we're above reproach. And, you know, because we are a Christian nation. And I'm amazed at how much... But Govinda, here's my prediction. I predict America can go way more decadent before it gets to be like Sodom and Gomorrah time. Way more.
Yeah, I agree with you.
There's a lot more room. Yeah. I used to think, you know, I used to say naively, I think the cup is filled. Oh, no. It's got a long ways to go.
Well, but you know, the other thing too, I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, and you look at the presence of the righteous people in that place, I know some really, really good people, you know, in the States. You know, I know some really, really good people that love the Lord with as much of themselves as they know how, you know, and they're there. And you know, God is, you know, He'll be faithful to work with, to protect, to watch over His people wherever they are in the world. And so, you know, whether everything melts tomorrow or, you know, whether this thing goes on and on and on, it's really, you know, like you said, it's you know, with the rapture's already happened and the fact that we're not here anymore. Christ is the hope of glory.
that's a good way of putting it. You know, we're done with this world. We're done with this world, so we're kind of in the next one, but we're still physically lingering, but it's not for our sakes anymore. It's for His sake.
Yeah, you know, the way I look at it is like you have the car, and but you're no longer driving. I mean, Jesus is driving the car. We just get in the passenger seat, and we're just along for the ride. So I mean, we're there. We're with Him. We're aware of all that's going on, but He's really the one in control and calling the shots, choosing the direction, and choosing what passengers come along with us. So it's just, you know, that's the adventure when we're no longer trying to figure out how do we navigate this place.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you. Just last week went through this whole thing about, you know, trying to explain to people that it really doesn't matter what you want or what I want. In the end, now that we ultimately, and whether you know this or not, even if you're not a believer, it doesn't really matter. His will, the Creator's will, and what He creates, us, the situation, what we have, what we perceive to be in our limited understanding the situation, but it really doesn't matter what we think about the situation either.
Yeah.
And that's what's wrong. Something just, Trish looks like she's going to the news item.
Everything cool over
there? No. What is it, Trish? We are streaming live, and let me just say this. Welcome to those of you who are joining us live. Apparently there's some phone call that came in, and I was worried that I felt this oh my god moment where, like, I thought she was reaching to go to the news that there's something breaking. And if something is breaking, we will let you know, because as we broadcast, we are also having all the wires coming in, and so we know what's going on. Nothing like that's going on. What's really happening, I believe, is this is a time of preparing people for what is ahead, but really preparing people to be able to live in the now rather than worrying about tomorrow. So many people, Govinda, are miserable, and I figured it out. The Lord showed me. He said, the people that say they love God are miserable. So many I've run into lately. And, and here's the answer. It's because they, it's really twofold. One, disobedience, and two, being out of position. In other words, having yourself higher than God. Once you realize it doesn't matter that he's God, you're not. I am, you're not. As soon as that gets back in place, the joy returns, because all the weight of the world is taken off our shoulders. It doesn't matter. We are as light as a feather. We don't have the cares of this world. We don't have to worry that, well, we failed. In whose eyes? And once we let that go, we failed in whose eyes, you know?
Oh, I agree with you completely. I mean, it just, even for myself, you know, I mean, just you even talking about the site and stuff, as far as the, how much has come up very quickly. I mean, we've put a lot of work into this, but there's such a release, you know, and such a just a joy that comes when you're in step with the Spirit and you're just putting out what it is that he's giving you, where his life is coming through yours into the world that that he's allowed you, privileged you to be part of right now. And when that's there, you're right, it's there's a peace, there's a joy, there's just an easiness about his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I mean, people have taken so many things upon themselves, and they feel weighed down by this world, and they're weighed down with all the cares of this world, and you know, to those people, I would just say, hey, he said, come unto me. So just go there. Go there. I mean, it's all right.
Just go there. Look, okay, let's say you're worried about something like this. Your court date's coming up. You might go to jail for, say, a third DWI. I mean, I'm just giving it. You love the Lord, but you fell into disobedience. You fell into sin. Now the consequences of that sin are coming. What do we say to that? Now, there's a real life situation in New Mexico here. A lot of Christians, unfortunately, are people that knew the Lord and they fall in this and they get, you know what happens. You get whipsawed sometimes by the devil, and you fall back into old patterns. What about, okay, so they're worried about this or that. They lost their job because they were bad and they, you know, they did something wrong. They fell back into it. Okay, how can this person not worry? Now, with the family in jeopardy, marriage in jeopardy, let's say, possible jail time, all that kind of thing happening, how can that person, or a person in prison, worried about that other people are going to come down on him for being a Christian, what do you do now? How does that person have a light countenance and no worries?
Well, I mean, one thing for sure, we're all in prison. It's just how big your cell is. You know, so, I mean, let's just start there. So, and for those that end up, you know, in a natural prison as such, well, scripturally, you're in good company, because there's been plenty of people that have been tossed into jail for all kinds of things. Now, it's one thing. It's a lot better to be thrown into jail for walking in service and step with this Holy Spirit, rather than something that you did. But, you know, that was kind of, you know, maybe not the smartest thing to do, but whatever the situation is and wherever somebody is, at whatever given moment, you can always turn to the Father through Jesus Christ and appeal to him. So whatever somebody's situation is right now, because he is I am, all you got to do is just call out to him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. So it's in that situation what happens, what I... You just have to give him the lordship over it and say, God, here's where I'm at. You know, here is what I'm struggling with. I think one of the things, F, one of the biggest mind controls for people is that they just have never learned to be real with God. You know, they just have never learned just to cry out to God where they're at and just to be, because he sees it already. He knows the situation already. And, you know, in fact, the seven church ages, there's a part five that will be coming up here in just a minute, or it should get posted the next day or two. But at the start of it, my friend Chandala, who's speaking there, he talks about a situation where in Sri Lanka, basically, he wasn't going to do something for this government minister that when he was in Dubai, and he wasn't going to do this thing that this guy had asked him for. And basically the guy said, all right, you think you're some kind of big man, just wait till you get back to Sri Lanka, I'll take care of you there. And I mean, a lot of things can happen when those guys, you know, put somebody under the gun. But basically, you know, this minister went back about 5 days before he did to Sri Lanka, and so all that Chandala did was he just put it before God in prayer. And before this guy got back, I mean, this guy's whole life, this minister's life, this government minister, it was completely wrecked before he got wrecked it, because this man came up against one of his servants. And the whole story is there, but anyways, whatever the situation is, you know, whatever, there may be natural consequences for something that somebody has done. And, you know, those are just, you know, they're there in this realm, you know, because there's a law of sow and reap, that things come back to you. But if whatever the case may be, in the spirit, there's freedom. You know, and in the spirit, there can be a freedom no matter what your situation is. So whatever it is that somebody's dealing with, whatever it is that they're facing, in the spirit, what can happen is God can completely change the way that you even relate to the situation. You know, the other day I was praying because I was just struggling with being here. And my prayer was just, I said, God, would you just give me joy in the assignment that you've given me right now? Now, nothing had changed externally, but there was a shift that took place in the spirit as I gave that over to God. And as I gave that over to God, there was not a single thing changed in the natural, but in the spirit, that was lifted.
I love it. Well, there's a lot to do, and a lot of people have told me, you know, when I started a few years ago, I was pretty messed up, and they could tell, and then they've seen all the changes in the last five years, and they said, well, based on those changes, I'm interested, you know, because you were pretty messed up, you know, you were a basket case. I said, yes, I was a basket case that went online for my own, and I bore it all. On stage, I just went ahead and opened it all up and said, here it is. And here I am a mess, and I was messed with, and I have no idea that I'll ever get out of this. But over time, the Lord has dealt with me in a very, you know, not harsh way at all. Like, oh, he's, you know, it was harsh before, and he's dealt with me and put kind of, you know, been able to put me back, not back together, but create a new creation, really, that doesn't worry about things so much and doesn't, you know, get hurt so easily and isn't shattered, you know, fragmented and looking around for what happened when, you know, when people have abuse programming, what can happen is, well, you could abuse someone and then it doesn't register at that moment. How many of you out there can relate to whatever, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so it happens, and then about 2 weeks later, in my case it would be like a year or two later, it would register. See, and I got behind on all that, so that every time anything happened, it would take me years to process what happened several years back. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's because I got behind the eight ball. In other words, once the first thing happens, then the second thing, then the third thing, then the fifth thing, then the hundredth thing, and pretty soon you get that delay. Yeah. Okay. There are a lot of people out there like this, and they don't even know it, which is even worse. Yeah. They don't even know how damaged they really are. Now, the Lord can take that kind of person. That's what they call the shattered personality. That personality can never be glued back together. Those of you with MPD, you're never going to come back whole. You come back as a new creation. A new creation. You better than the one before. It's not a matter of you getting back to where you were and getting healed, past tense. It's a matter of going forward onto your whole self that already exists that the Lord created. It's a matter of His bringing you into relationship with Him, and in so doing, relationship with you as one in Him, and Him as one in you, John 17. So that is where we're headed. Isn't that wonderful? And it's not even like a healing. It's more like a recreation or a new creation, just like Paul says, a new creature in Christ.
Well, you know, and since we were talking a little bit about Jackie, just something else came to mind that she had talked about one time. It just was a person who kept wondering why she wasn't being delivered from something, and so she kept coming back to Jackie about this. But then it was when that person, when she began basically making herself available to God and ministering to others, mm-hmm. that it was in that process that herself. And so it was, you know, this self-absorbed, when is God going to fix me? That's in and of itself is a bottomless pit. You know, we get past ourselves.
I hate
the Father is doing.
Yeah.
It's no fun.
Yeah, it's a downward spiral, because once you start feeling sorry for yourself, then there's
The devil's the only one that comes to that party.
I'll tell you, I was there just the other day, and I was like, and then when I got beyond it, thanks to the Lord, and thanks to, I just called somebody and they were a brother in Christ and they talked to me. They said one sentence. They had no idea why I was calling. I didn't either. Yeah. And it just was like, boom, just instant, bam, attitude adjustment. And I was back.
Yeah.
So, that's all of us. And you know, where all of us can fall. And
yeah,
you, leaders,
that's all of us.
Leaders out there, what you have to understand is you have to give yourself permission to be human. In other words, that yes, you have to admit that. See, that's what's wrong with the pastors in America. They're not allowed to fall, so everything goes in the closet, so they hide it. And then there's this huge thing that erupts down the road, right? But
oh yeah, they're not God, you know, and they gotta quit playing like they are.
Yeah, they, you know, because they're not allowed, because people in this country and perhaps elsewhere, they don't want to see leadership that's fallible. They want to see a certain face on leadership, and that, whether it's the president or the professor or the doctor, right? And someone needs to say, there was a Dave Matthews song, and say what you will about him, you know, the world's music, whatever, that's fine. But the lyric goes something like, I'm no Superman, I don't have any answers, you know, which is, and I thought, yeah, thank God, because we look to these rock stars like Dave Matthews, that he should be cool. Well, maybe he isn't cool. I don't know him, you know. He's a great musician. Yeah. I don't know whether he's cool or not. But I'm just saying, with our leaders, and then we build them up, like the pastors, and Ted Haggard comes to mind. We build them up. He's the head of the whole evangelical thing with access to the President of the United States and all this. Mm-hmm. And then, bam, a huge fall. Because why? Because he hadn't been honest. It caught up with him. So why wasn't he honest? Be in that position. Then someone else would be in that position.
No. But see, it's bondage all the way around. I mean, they're in bondage. Their people are in bondage. The very system that they create is just another prison, you know. And so even for themselves, they work so hard to get into that position to acquiesce power and resources and people unto themselves. And then in the end, they are locked into something and they're crying to be let out as well.
Yeah, there's people that they say, if I just had money, they get all this money and the stuff and they're full-time dealing with lawyers and board meetings and this and that, and they have no time for that. They are completely in prison. Or take the Queen of England.
Yeah.
Great example. She just can't, she has no life of her own. Mm-hmm. She can't just go here. She has to put on a face. She's got to do this. Her days are scheduled. She can't just go off and go to China and start ministering to heroin addicts. There's no way. You see what I mean? She's locked in and she can't get out. And I don't think she can't go out in public, for one thing.
No.
So the more these people have, the more what they have is keeps them in prison. Now, if the Queen had the Lord, let's say, for real, then it were, you know, here's what happens. You may still be in prison, like you people in prison, you may still be in prison, but your prison is no longer a cell that holds you.
Yeah.
You're free, even though you have prison walls around you.
Yeah. Well, you know, and something too is, and just kind of goes back to something you mentioned earlier, but no matter what your background or no matter what it is that you've learned or whatever it may be, when you take that and you put it before the Father, he makes something out of that. That's just something that he does. I mean, it was even, you know, with Moses when he put the staff down before he threw the staff down and he ran from it. When he picked it up again, it was the staff of God. You know, and so it's that natural ability, that representation of the last thing that he trusted in, which was his ability as a shepherd. You know, and even that he can't herd a few sheep. But even there, it's like, but when that's put down before the Father, he ends up shepherding the whole nation of Israel. And so that's, it's whatever that ability or that, that thing that you might have had or that you were good at, once you run from that and you turn it over to the Father, he takes that. And he empowers that, and he uses that for his glory and his purposes.
You know, right, that's why he made you for himself. See, there's that little adjustment. If we could just understand that, what happens is then the weight of everything comes off, and then you're free. That's when you're free, when you don't have to carry the world on your shoulders. Then you're free. That's really the definition of it. The Satanists have their own version of that, which, of course, is a joke and very sad. Sad, 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 sad. But no matter, we are to walk in joy. We can't sit there and, if anything, we should be reaching out and not, you know, sitting there going, gosh, the world's sad and crying all day long. You know, we have to move on. And so with that, we're out of time. Govinda Tidball is my guest. His new ministry is Faith Mix, F-A-I-T-H-M-I-X, Mix, faithmix.com. And we have the links up. And he is a great brother in Christ, and he's taken the bull by the horns, as they say.
and quite like that.
Pun intended. And he's going for it. And they're up and running. It's a collaboration of people in Govinda's life and that he works with in ministry. And I predict right here and now that this thing is going to grow, because see, the need is great and there are very few people to do the work. And so wherever someone's willing to do God's work and saying yes to God, he's going to have to get in there and really use you, you know, and that's, so you won't be doing your own thing anytime soon.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, no,
praise God.
It's been like that for a while, but praise God. Hey, God bless y'all, and great to talk again.
Okay, Govinda Tidball, thank you so much, and please say hello to your.
Stay right there.
Yeah, stay right there, and we'll just pull this thing down, pull that up. And there's our friend Messi. He'll be my guest this Thursday, Messi and Dredd, this musician. We're going to talk about Rasta. And we're going to talk about Rastafarian, and we're going to talk about his mission in Christ to be a missionary to the Rastas and to bring the word and to bring the gospel. And he's an expert, a great musician, and a great producer as well. So we're blessed. Of course, everyone I know is like a great musician. I'm very blessed that way. So we'll see you next time. And by the way, we love you. We're praying for you. And if you want to get involved in anything like... any of the little offerings we have a new review. Actually, Messi and Dredd himself did a review of Lamb. Read it. It's from someone who does not speak English as a first language. It's great. That's an underground class. It was written for you. You know, and the fact that the books trickle out of here and the writers that write big Christian literature are getting millions of dollars and this just kind of trickles out. I just give it to God right now, but I mean, it was written for you. Get MetaV 2 for $5 or 3 for $5 each. As many as you want for $5. One is $9.99, but after one by two, you get it for the same price, two for one. That's going right now. And everything else. It's on the site. So, you know, metazef@gmail.com. If you have anything to say, any request, anything like that, that's metazef, M-E-T-A-Z-E-P-H @gmail.com. And we will, visit FaithMix, and they have a whole bunch of things going on there. Check into Govinda's map. If you scroll down, there's that same Frapper map that we put up that we've enjoyed because it's kind of lets us feel like we're in touch with our brothers and sisters around the world. And with that, I must go. So we will see you next time.
Time is so crucial. Dreaded and dread. Babylon red hot. Explosion. Things getting out of hand, yeah. yes, you know. Read Revelation. God told you so. Oh.